辅助材料。
Thank you for that introduction, Ambassador. I'm delighted to be here at Invest UK's ICT seminar in Shanghai today, and to be sharing a platform with Sir Robin Saxby, Chairman ARM, Sir David Brown, Chairman Motorola UK, and Sir Chris Gent, Chairman Vodafone. Chris and Robin both appeared in Time Magazine's World Top 25 Digital Players just a couple of weeks ago. I'm delighted they're here to promote British excellence in ICT. They really do represent the best of British. Today, I want to talk about the huge opportunities for our countries to work closer together. Our nations have great and proud histories. Together, our creativity, our innovation and our courage have set the pace in world economic development for centuries. China invented paper, printing and blast furnaces for smelting iron. Britain invented the computer, television and the internet. And now we are on the verge of a new revolution. Information and communication industries are transforming the way we live, work and do business. Britain and China together have a chance to once again set the pace for the world, building on our strengths, the best of old and the best of new, and China's new openness and participation in the global economy. China's recent economic transformation, domestically and internationally, has been outstanding. The number of British businesses, figures out here this week, pays testament to this. Digby Jones, Sir John Egan, the Lord Mayor of London, and Sir Harry Kroto, the Nobel Prize winner for his work on nanotechnology, have all been here this week, as well as Pascal Lamy. China's GDP grew by 7.8% in the second quarter of 2002 alone, and since my last visit here to Shanghai a year and a half ago, I have personally seen the most extraordinary change. Perhaps most significant, though, is China's new openness to the rest of the world, particularly since her accession to the WTO. We are now working together as partners in the WTO, taking forward the Doha Development Agenda. China's activity in the global economy presents the world with challenges and opportunities, particularly us in Britain. Challenges because, on the one hand, some of our more labour-intensive industries like textiles in my constituency will have to become ever more productive if they are to compete with low-cost Chinese producers. And we will increasingly find our future lies in more technical textile production rather than cotton t-shirts. But on the other hand, this is where our skills lie, in high value added, high skilled, knowledge intensive operations. So we also have a huge opportunity to benefit as China develops outwards, moves into new markets and embraces new technologies, to offer our unique skills and expertise which are so in evidence here today. We are the best place in Europe to do business. This is not just rhetoric. The statistics prove it. We attract almost a quarter of all investment into the EU, twice as much from the US as our closest European competitor, and around 40% of all Japanese investment in Europe. There are three main strengths Britain has to offer inward investors. First, macroeconomic stability, the crucial foundation for business success. We have the lowest inflation and interest rates in 40 years. In 2001, we experienced the fastest growth in the G7. Second, our position in the EU, providing an excellent gateway into Europe. The EU already offers a customer base of almost 400 million. After enlargement, this will be almost 500 million. Third, British scientists, innovators, managers and leaders are the best in the world. With 1% of the world's population, we fund 5% of the world's science, produce 8% of all the world's scientific papers, and get 9% of scientific citations. Our skills in research, software, marketing and design are the best in the world. and we are well ahead in areas like mobile communications and digital TV, and in areas like semiconductor design, all areas strongly represented here today. And it is these skills which I know are particularly relevant to you, because these are the skills that are driving the new information and communication technology industries, and Britain really is excelling in them, which is why world leaders such as Intel, Cisco and Exodus have all invested in Britain. Bill Gates has called the UK the best place in the world to do e-business. Ralph Averbuch, UK producer of Yahoo, has called the UK by far the most mature online market in Europe. We have the most developed and largest market in ICT in Europe, one of the most connected economies in the world. We transact more than £57 billion worth of sales over the internet. This is on a par with the USA and Canada, and way ahead of countries like Germany and Sweden. We are English-speaking, the language of the internet. We have high-level management skills, a good business infrastructure, flexible labour market, stable politics and excellent tax regime. And so this is why I say to you, if you are looking to invest in Europe, particularly in ICT, invest in Britain. Our two countries, with our great histories and our tremendous strengths, are natural partners. Many Chinese businesses are now making significant early investments into Britain. There are around 120 companies from mainland China investing in Britain, up from just 50 3 years ago. Legend has positioned their European marketing HQ in Slough, and Qinao has opened their European liaison and purchasing office in the northeast. ZTE Corporation, China's largest listed telecoms manufacturer, is now focusing on the European market. Their chairman, Zhang Tefeng, described Britain as the natural gateway into Europe. The Shanghai Foreign Investment Development Board has opened an office in London, providing advice for Shanghai companies looking to invest in the UK. And I know Mr. Liu Tingbing, the Vice President, will be speaking to you later today. So we've already got the fruits of a really strong relationship between us. And I hope that through all that Britain has to offer you, our economic stability, our position in Europe, and in particular, our scientific excellence, creativity and innovation, allows us to build on this. China is key to our efforts. We now have 6 full-time staff in China, from none just 3 years ago. Leading Edge has been the largest and most wide-ranging UK promotion we have carried out anywhere in the world this year. So we want to build up our relationship, and I look forward to working with all of you as we take the next steps forward together, the best of old, the best of new, in partnership, meeting the challenges of the global economy.
I have a great interest in China. It is a fascinating and beautiful country. I have visited China almost every year since the Labour government came to power in 1997. And I have met many of your senior politicians, including President Hu Jintao, who I have had the pleasure of meeting in both London and Beijing. Of course, it is right that the UK sets great store by its relationship with China. China is a rapidly developing global power, a permanent member of the UN Security Council, and a member of the WTO. According to Chinese government statistics, its economy grew by nearly 10% year-on-year during the first quarter of this year, making it the world's fastest-growing economy. This builds on over 2 decades of double-digit growth. No other country received more foreign direct investment last year. Some forecasters even predict that China could be the second largest economy in the world by 2030. Crucially, that will mean keeping up the momentum of structural economic reform. This conference is about facing the future. The inventor, Charles Kettering, said, My interest is in the future because I'm going to spend the rest of my life there. When we look at what the future holds for China, it is difficult to make any hard and fast predictions. The unpredictability of events is shown, for example, by the present crisis of severe acute respiratory syndrome. Economists have forecast that SARS will knock between 0.5 and 2% off economic growth in China this year. But even taking the worst-case scenario, this would still mean growth of 5%. Even that level of growth, however, leaves huge challenges for China's economic and social development. China faces serious deflationary pressures. It has to reform ailing state-owned industries. It faces challenges in the financial sector to reduce the high level of bad debt. The problems of rural-urban migration and the closure of state industries mean that China has to create some 100 to 200 million new jobs over the next 10 years. There is a growing gap between rural and urban incomes, which are now wider than at any time in China's recent history. And there is also a wealth gap between the rich urban seaboard and the poor agricultural West. All of these are huge challenges. And the challenges are not just economic. There are political and social challenges too. China's political system will need to adapt to reflect the dramatic economic and social developments that China has experienced over the last two decades. The risks and challenges associated with China's growth have a regional and wider international impact. China's Asian neighbours are already feeling the impact of a highly competitive China on their own trade and investment flows. The UK wishes to work with China to ensure that its economic growth is sustainable. Sustainable growth is the aim of our economic policies at home. We have seen the longest period of sustained low and stable inflation since the 1960s. Interest rates, at 3.75%, are at their lowest levels since 1955. Employment is at record levels, 27.8 million, with over 1.4 million jobs created since 1997. We remain a world leader in the delivery of services. And as the Chinese market diversifies away from heavy manufacturing, UK companies stand well placed to develop new business. Our finance and insurance firms can take advantage of increasing liberalisation in these sectors. Another area of opportunity is in telecommunications. Cellular phone penetration is now 11% in China, and it is already the biggest mobile market in the world. Britain is the EU's largest investor in China. We need to broaden this cooperation, particularly with China's non-state sector. Most importantly of all, China's accession to the WTO in November 2001, which the UK fully supported, marked the opening up of new opportunities for British business and the chance to compete more fairly in a huge marketplace. We want to encourage China's closer integration into the international system, including economic, financial, and trade structures. We also welcome China's involvement in global challenges such as the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, the environment, drugs, terrorism, and AIDS. As a fellow member of the Permanent Five of the UN Security Council, we have already greatly valued China's cooperation on issues such as the war against terrorism. The bilateral relationship is in good shape. We also want to ensure that the rising generation of decision makers and young professionals in China have an accurate, up-to-date image of Britain and gain a better understanding of the relevance of the UK to their own lives. To this end, we are planning a series of high-profile events later this year across China to illustrate creativity and innovation in modern Britain. I want to thank the China-Britain Business Council for putting on this conference and wish them well. The Prime Minister and I are very appreciative of the role played by the CBBC and the high regard in which it is held in China. As I said earlier, making predictions for China is a hugely difficult task. But working alongside the CBBC, the British government is committed to doing what it can to work with China to help it face the challenges ahead and shape its future. US academic John Richardson Jr. said, "When it comes to the future, there are three kinds of people. Those who let it happen, those who make it happen, and those who wondered what happened. I know you will join us in being among those who make it happen. Thank you."